Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's an All You Can Geek bonus round for Final Fantasy XV. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gass, joined by Tony Korkanakis.
Oi.
And Corey Feinsod.
It's dangerous to drive at night.
Yes. Oh, man. So, welcome, listeners and viewers, to a bonus round. We talked about doing this as soon as Tony finished up. We had enough people to do a bonus round rather than just Corey and myself. So that's why Mike's not on here. He never played the game. Don't see him ever playing this game. It's not his type. So,
I don't like fantasy, but Mass Effect.
Yeah.
As you can all see, same thing.
If you're following the saga of my finger, it's still here, and it still has to be held up. So hi everybody who listened to the earlier podcasts. So, guys, Final Fantasy 15 is basically just to give, and this is a spoiler cast for those that are, you know,
unawares.
We will be talking spoilers of this game. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, just kind of tune this out and listen to it when you're finished with the game.
Last chance.
So basically, let's get into the nitty gritty of it. This is a tale of two games. Like, and for the longest time, like, Tony, when we were on our podcast, you're like, don't you fucking spoil this for me. And I'm like, I know that, like, I was disappointed with certain parts. Like, you're like so worried about the story. But for me, it ended up being like the game wasn't about that story. Like, I enjoyed that first half. It was like Metal Gear Solid. It was exactly like Metal Gear Solid. I enjoyed that first half so much that the game was not a bad game. Just wasn't like game of the year. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. The tale of two games in one game, you know. Corey, you've been kind of quiet about, like, would you say like it's a tale of two games, or would you say that it just had a week?
Absolutely.
Chapters?
I mean, for me, like, it's chapter 13, and that hovers and, like, is just a dark cloud over the entire game.
Yeah. The second that you get to the new world, the second world, it kind of starts to fill
that,
you.
But I don't,
yeah, that, for
I,
me, that's yeah, where it no started to get. For me, that's where it started to.
I mean, the thing is, in my opinion, like, I totally see that where, because, like, they even gave you a couple warnings of, like, you're not going to be able to come back here for a while. Are you sure?
Once that,
like,
started, yeah.
And it's like, all right, let me do some quests. I'll be right back. So, like, I didn't mind if they had done it where, like, okay, for a little while I got linear, but then brought you back out into the open world. It was just like, nope, we're getting, it was like a funnel. It was like linear. It was like, and that's it. Like, you can only go forward now. Like, you can't, can't go anywhere else.
It was just a dream sequence.
Yeah.
But no, I think for me it really was once, and again, spoiler cast, once Luna dies, felt like the story had no relevance whatsoever.
Well,
because I didn't know what was going on, and my whole point of this journey was to get to my future wife.
Yes. See, this is where I disagree with what they try to do with this game. When I started playing this game, and I don't know if you guys both started out this way, I saw this as like a save the kingdom after you've been betrayed. Like, you watch Kingsglaive, which I thought was a cool addition onto it. If you watch it after, I played the first chapter and then I watched Kingsglaive. So I got to watch, like, I got to hear the news that the kingdom has fallen. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Kingsglaive where you watch it happen. You're like, oh, this is cool. It's like a little, like, flashback side story thing. I liked it like that. But I took the game as, because the movie was, like, based on that, I took the game as, like, this is the story. You're here to save your future wife and restore your kingdom from chaos, because it just got taken over.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did we all miss when this changed? When did this change, like, in the story? Like, I must have – I don't even know. Like, because that wasn't the story.
Yeah, I mean – and that's honestly one of the things that, like – at first I didn't think about it too much. But, like, after the end of the game, I started thinking about it a lot. I was a second. I was like, some of these things don't add up. So, like, I mean, the whole thing is the kingdom, once it falls, like, I mean, the characters, the four main characters,
I think it's called
Insomnia, and you're like, oh, fuck, that's bad juju. Like, that's bad news. Empire just took over the last, you know, safe bastion of the free world. And then you're, like, roaming around a hammerhead, and everybody's, you know, not to be offensive, but, like, basically the first people you meet are, like, fucking hicks, and they're like, well, yep, that sucks, but let us fix up your car. It's like, wait, what? Like, don't you people care about this shit? Like,
No, I mean, they did. I mean, you had Sid talking about your father and how he knew him. I mean, you did get a little bit of story with that. But, like, I wasn't even affected by the fact that the people of that world were hardly affected by the fallout, because that's like a kingdom. I saw it as, like, a closed-off community. It was bubbled. It was everything. That world wasn't bubbled. They were out there dealing with the Empire to begin with. So
the outside, like, the open-world area, they were more, like, the countryside where, like, whatever happens in the big city, who cares? Like,
it doesn't affect us.
New York. That's what I gathered. Yeah, that's how I
make
Final Fantasy great again.
yeah,
but for me, it was like they kind of did. They kind of, yeah, I agree with you, Jim. The Kingsglaive really set up this whole revenge story, almost where like I'm gonna get the guy that got my dad. He's going down. Plus, I gotta save my woman, and then both of those things really never pay out.
Well, see, like. Here's the thing with Luna. I never cared about her whatsoever because she was hardly in the game. Like, she was barely in the game. So when she got killed, like, they obviously were going for, like, an Eris Sephiroth moment. I was like, this is not impactful because I don't care. Like, it's a bro fest. My bros, I'm more worried about saving Prompto than Luna. I was like, that's what I was worried. I was like, okay, I got to save Prompto.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's really upsetting because just going into the game, like all the marketing materials and everything like that, and all the interviews, like it's like you said, it's a bro fest. Yep. I'm like, well, you know, that doesn't really vow too well for our supposed like female lead.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, she wasn't really even in the game that much. Like okay, if you take out.
A big part of the Kingsglaive.
So. Yeah, right. And that's the thing that I kind of got to penalize the game for, because if you take Kingsglaive out of the story, like, you really have no idea that she actually played, you know, an important part.
Anything.
In getting, like, the ring to Noctis.
You had no idea what was going on in the game with that. Like, they didn't explain that at all. I don't want to move off of her yet, but, like, just remember to talk about her brother before we move past this point, because...
There is a lot of story that's hidden within items that you have to read. And
okay.
Like, I read, like, so many items. I'm like, because, like, I was like, wait, did I miss? And there's, like, all these papers all over the place in that chapter 13, like, that you start reading. That's where all the story is. And I'm like, why are they doing it? Because, like, they're just, like, a voice that's just talking at you. And then the story for, like, what you're actually doing here is all in these, like, documents of
things
gone wrong or whatever. And it's like, what? Why did you do it this way?
And then the other thing is, too, with Luna is, you know, after you progress in the game a little bit, you find out, like, that Noctis and Luna really don't have that much time together. Like, when Noctis got sick, she stayed with him for, like, 6 months or something like that when they were, like, 12 or 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Then she went back to Tenebrae, and then, you know, 10, 12 years, whatever time difference it is. It's like, oh, well, we're going to get married now because the Emperor says we have to, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, so, and like, and mind you, any communication they have between them is done by, like, a doggy male.
A time-traveling, dimensional-traveling dog.
And this is what bugs me, and I hate to, like, this is really nitpicky and, like, critical of, like, the world, but, like, they have cell phones in this world.
Yes.
They have cell phones in this world. So, like, when Noct was all like, I just wanted to save you. I just wanted to see you one last time. I just wanted to hear you one last time. I'm like, fuck, give her a call, asshole.
You're talking about calling across
fucking Skype, FaceTime.
Yeah, but you're talking about calling off to another continent, man. That those rates have to be crazy.
Oh, God. It's just...
I mean, I hardly had enough money for food in this game, so I'm not spending money on my phone bill.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like... you're right. That's the funny part. Like, they wanted to use this. Why they use the dog for that, I make no sense. They could have just used a cell phone, like text message or something from her, as a communication between the two. But, like, you never truly really, like, cared about her because you never got their relationship at all. Like, you got very small bits of it. Maybe out of the entire 30-plus, 40-hours-plus game play you put in, you got maybe 10 minutes of story with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like... I just didn't care about that aspect. I was looking at it more about restoring, you know, the kingdom, and they turned it into this mystical quest that I must have missed when it turned, because it just kind of like it made a hard right turn for me. I was like, wait, what? When did this happen?
As soon as they got on the train.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I just was like, I just felt like that the change was so fast.
It was very quick. And like I was texting you, Jim, because we were kind of in the same spot. And I was like, I have no idea what's going on in the story. Like, but I'm having a lot of fun. So maybe it'll make sense once it all comes. Like, once all the pieces fit together, it'll all make sense. But that never really happens. And it just, it's like, they just took pieces that you had, like, okay, these will fit somewhere. And they just picked them and threw them out because, like, they don't matter.
This is what I get from this development of 10 years with this game. Like I said, it's a tale of two games. They had a half a game that's very good, and we're going to talk about that good stuff in just a second. But then they had this original, probably the original idea, and that's what we got with the second half of this game. I bet you they, in their minds, when they're doing the story for this game, they had peace moments that they wanted in the game, like the stabbing at the end when he's getting stabbed by Kings. No idea what the fuck was going on there, but you know one of those writers envisioned that before they wrote anything else. That's something they wanted. The next checkbox was kill Luna. That was like in the thing. they wanted it. The next one was her brother's got to be found dead with his sword. You know, that's got to, they had set pieces.
Got to blind Ignis.
Yeah, because they had to be there, and it was almost like, and you can tell they just came out of left field, but they had to. I believe that whoever was writing the game had that planned out. Like, they wanted it in those sequences, even though they didn't make much sense. They more like ram it down, cram it down your throat to have those visual, showy things.
Is the point of the Oracle? Like, why is she?
That's what I don't get. Yeah, because
did you read up on that at all, Tony?
Like, the Leviathan didn't listen to her at all. She was supposed to summon the Leviathan for Noctis to be able to control. But why couldn't Noctis just summon? Because wasn't the other giant god thing Titan? Summoned by Noctis?
No, Titan was already there.
Yeah, but so was the Leviathan. He just had to get called up to the Earth. Why couldn't, you know, I don't know. The Titan called Noctis.
It just didn't make sense. God, like, the thing is, too, is, like, when she summoned it, and Leviathan's like, yo, if Noctis fails, I'm going to, like, pretty much fuck the Earth up and, like, eat everybody, so good luck. And it's just like, wait...
But and then that's also,
you're kind of a dick. In fact, you're all kind of dicks. Like,
yeah.
And that's continuing on this
or whatever,
which didn't make any sense either. But because you didn't meet the other ones, but that I just want to talk about the disappointing gameplay of the second half, where they had these monstrous giant spectacles, which could have been amazing, awesome boss fights. And I feel like the Leviathan fight was pretty stupid.
Oh my god, dude, it was so terrible.
Yeah, and then
it was
even,
so bad.
Yeah, and then
boring because there's nothing to it.
You just throw your hook thing and hang there for a second, then jump back on them, and it was just like rinse and repeat. It was very stupid. You had no chance of dying. And I felt the same way with the last boss fight. Like, I felt the same way. I felt like their battles in the
your
second half
match
of the game
or whatever
were not yet. Yeah, it just wasn't. They weren't impressed. The whole system for some reason broke down in the second half. That it's like they made the second half of that game 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I'm thinking. But let's I mean, what else do you want to talk about with the story? Because basically, to talk about the good things about this game, we don't talk about the story. You know what I mean? Like, I guess there's some parts in the beginning we can talk about, but like the Brofest thing.
I just really wish they had stuck to that. Because, I mean, you look at the box art, the intro sequence, you know, Stand By Me, like all that. Like, it just is like, hey, we're going to go on a grand adventure and stuff like that. And like, yeah, you do for like the first half of the game, but the second half, it's just like,
yeah,
when it's a train wreck. Literally a train wreck, figuratively and literally.
When they bring in that mystical aspect of the thing, which was always kind of there, but I would have been fine with it just kind of being there because it's a Final Fantasy game. It didn't have to take over. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing that really bugged me is as soon as you know, leave the fucking home city. I forget.
Lestrium or something.
No. Your kingdom.
Insomnia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you leave there, and they're like, "Okay, Noctis has to go and get like your the royal arms to unlock his full power, or full potential, or whatever like that." I'm like, "Okay, all right. There's the hook. Like that's the hook." And then, like you said, Corey, like as soon as we get to the part with Luna and you know Leviathan and the Oracle thing, like all it just gets thrown out the window. Like it just goes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's essentially what I got from that.
Yeah. Because it's like nobody, it wasn't like important anymore. Like you had a couple quests where it's like, hey, go into this dungeon. You're like, okay, I guess. And then it's like, oh, look, a royal arm is here. But it's not like, we need to go here to get the royal arm, motherfucker.
Also, so it's, like, it's like, what was the big deal about putting the ring on? Like, why was he all upset about that?
I don't
understand.
And that
ring wasn't that good.
Oh my God.
I never used it after that. You had to use it.
I know. Like, I'm like, why? I tried it. I did try it on the last boss fight because it has that counter thing. And then I'm like, in the middle of the fight, I'm like, fuck this thing. I took it. I put on, because I'm like, I'm doing no damage. It's taking me forever. I'm like, I'm just going to fuck him up with the heavy shit I have. So I just put on my good weapons and I just fucked him up. But like, and that ring was supposed to be like, what? Didn't that like kill people in Kingsglaive? They couldn't handle the power of it. Come on. But, oh, all right. Wait. We're hating on this. Like I said, it's a Tale of Two Games. Let's go to the first half for us, which is the Tale of Two Games. The first half of this game, I mean, immediately for me, this brought me into it with the Stand By Me opening, the pushing the car. I don't know. Like, I just, something about it just hooked me in this game. And like Corey had said early on, when was the last time we played a game like this? You know what I mean? It's been a while. It scratched an itch we didn't know we were waiting for. We had, I mean. So, like, I don't know. Like, it's amazing. I really enjoyed the first half of this game quite a bit. And then I think both of you, I mean, Tony, you're still playing it right now. Yeah. But it's part of a dream sequence. I would prefer that not to be that way, but whatever. That's like the dream sequence, right? That part? I don't know. I don't understand. So anyways, let's talk about the first half and what we liked about this game and how great it was. Corey,
well,
kick us off.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit in the Game of the Year podcast, if you guys listen to that. It was my surprise game of the year just because, like you were saying, it really blows you away the first initially, obviously.
Well, and I think most of it, and then still it has that, like, for me, I trade games in pretty quickly usually once I finish them. I still have this game, and I plan on actually – I think I'm going to get the DLC because I want to play the Promptus story and the Gladius story, and I want to play Chapter 13 after they patch it and hope it's better. So
I don't want to play it. I don't care about that chapter at
I do,
all.
I do.
What are they going to change to make it better?
I want to see if they – I don't know, but I want to see if they can
it's
fix
not
it.
Worth it.
I want to see if they can
I'll
fix
let
it.
You play it, Tony.
Yeah, I will tell you guys.
Like I mentioned, I played 30 hours of this game before hitting chapter 5. Like, I was in chapter 3 for a good 20 hours, probably.
Jesus Christ.
Because that's how much fun I was having. Oh. Doing constant, like, just side quests up the wazoo. Every side quest I could do, I was trying to do those side quests. And I was having so much fun doing it. Because I didn't care. Like, it's just these a bunch of...
You didn't have to advance the story. Like, here's the thing with the story. The way it started in the beginning. The way I play a game is, like, I don't like to do side quests a lot. If the story is like, if somebody's captured and dying, like, in my mind, it doesn't make sense to go rescue a rabbit in a tree at some point. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm playing a video game, I don't know. I'm coming up with something random. You know what I mean? Like, like a
maybe
fetch quest.
World, it's like a cat rabbit.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, like, why you would do it. So it's like, I don't do that usually. I usually just kind of stick to the main story. I do some side quests as it makes sense. And the first part of this game, they really left it open for us to kind of really dive into the world because the story didn't quite advance you that fast. It let you really go. It paced it very well. Like, so Corey, you played 30 hours by chapter 3 because there was nothing pushing you for the story. You were really getting into the universe. And
there's
just
a lot to do. I mean, they kept adding stuff to do, and I never felt like I was being, not – filler stuff, but I never felt like it was just like, oh, here's stuff you can do because we want to make the game longer. It just felt like natural to do it, and it was fun to do those things.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that part, and like, I do want to go back because there's a lot of cool stuff that's out there still to do. So I do want to get some of that, and I did start some of the end game stuff. So
end game stuff. What do you mean, like the high level stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna go back and start that. I'm just trying to finish up some... I have so many other games to play through. That's the problem. Yeah. But I will probably come back to it with DLC and stuff. So I do... like I said, the first... Like, I enjoyed upgrading the Regalia. I enjoyed upgrading my car. Yeah. Like, it was part of the game. And
you can get it to fly, too.
Yeah, I want to get the flying car. I think I'm going to work towards that, actually.
I did it.
Oh, you did it? How is it?
It's weird. Like... I mean, so it's kind of cool in the sense that, like, you just press a button and all of a sudden the car literally transforms and starts flying. And one of the characters even says, we don't need roads or something like that. And I'm like, all right, I like the reference.
One of the updates going to let you go off-road with it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the weird thing right now is, like, the game literally tells you with a pop-up that goes, if you land, you need to land on a road. If not, it's game over. I'm like, well, what the fuck is the point right now? Like, because the thing is, I don't think it autopilots in the air. I could be wrong. I didn't really check it out. I just did it for the achievement because it's tied to achievement. Like, personally, I don't mind the road because I'm like, yep, let me just set this destination. And I, like, go to the bathroom or I get a snack or
and you
I
get
check
experience,
my phone.
You get AP. And,
right, you get AP and experience. I'm like, why would I want to do this then?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Corey, I mean, you touched some of the stuff. What for the good parts of the game, Tony, go over your stuff.
I mean, yeah, the story just – the game starts off really awesome because they give you freedom. Like, you have this car. You can go pretty much wherever you want. That's what I like about it. It's just like, for the most part, it's a, you just go wherever you want to go. You want to go on a road trip? Great. You want to go adventuring? Great. You want to do side quests? Great. You just want to fight monsters? Great.
You want to go fishing?
Yeah, you want to go fishing. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Take photographs. Great.
Take photographs.
Cook
yeah.
at camp. Train.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like, that is fun because there's variety and there's a lot of stuff to do and, you know, there's depth to the systems. And then I really like the characters and how, like, they bounce off each other and interact and mingle both in combat and, you know, on the road or at camp and stuff like that. So just very high beats in terms of, you know, character building and interaction and stuff
they
like that.
They make the combat really fun.
It's
fun, but I felt like by the time I was, and it may have been the way the game was funneling us, but by the time I got towards the end, I was tired of it. Like, I was like, it's very, like, patterned. Like, once you get that same pattern down with combat, you're like, you know, you know what you're doing. The only thing I never did really was summon. Like, I didn't summon much. And how many different summons are there in the game? Because I only had the one. There are six. You can have all six.
Well, the one is literally only for the fighting last. Ifrit. Yeah. So you get Ramu
Shiva's
first.
Shiva's fighting. Okay.
You get Titan then. And then you get Leviathan. And then you find Shiva is as you're fighting Ifrit. And then there's Bahamut. But Bahamut, you only summon in that fight against Ifrit. So it's like, well, what the fuck, motherfucker? You're really not that helpful.
So, like...
That's the part that really disappointed me, because, like,
yeah,
the summons are just such an afterthought, I felt. It literally is just an I win button. Like, I was in this fight earlier that I didn't mean to be in, and I was like, oh my god, this is lasting forever. Yeah. And it's like, I got the one that's less like, because apparently there's triggers for these summons, and it's like, I looked it up, and it's like, if you're in battle for a long time, the summon will come and help you. I'm like, oh, thanks, game. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
I kind of felt the same way about the magic system, too, though.
Yeah, I almost felt like I gave them... Did you guys notice, like, I would give it to my companions a lot, and they would just kind of throw it out there, and they would hurt everybody quite often.
Fire.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I really meant to bring up. I hate the friendly fire. I don't know why they added it in this game.
Yeah.
Because it's only with the magic. It's not with regular combat. So, like... But the thing is, they even say stuff if, like, you do, like, an attack near them. They're like, hey, watch it, or, you know, what are you doing? Whose side are you on? No
damage.
It's almost like
they were thinking of doing it all out, and then they kind of just half, again, a tale of two games. It's almost like half of it was, you know, half of it was planned, the other half is like, no, let's not do this.
And it just pissed me off because, you know, there are times I'm like, yep, I need to use this magic spell right now, but, like, they just fucking walk into it. I'm like, you dumb fucks, like.
Yeah. There's such good promise for a game like what they had in this first half of this game. If they somehow built this out the entire game like that, I mean this could have easily been game of the year. It could have easily. It's like it makes me wonder. Now, obviously, I don't want to see another 10-year development cycle of a game. Yeah. But I would like for them to do either. I wouldn't say a sequel to this, but a Final Fantasy 16. Based off of this style, like with an open world setting. And I'm not an open world game player. Like, I don't really like open world games usually. There are the few. I mean, there are the few that I find so interesting that I want to be in there, that world. You know, I'm looking forward to Zelda. I'm looking for, you know, I mean, there's certain worlds that you're like, you know, but I would like to see them do that with 16. Like, take this, what they've learned from this game, take the feedback they've gotten, because obviously they know Chapter 13 is a problem because they're changing it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, like, you know, too little too late at that point. Well, you guys aren't going to play it again. I'll give it a shot. And, you know, if it's really good, I'll tell you guys, you know, play it again, but I don't, it's going to have to be really good. So I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed with the game. I just,
I thought we were on the good stuff, Jim. Come on.
We are, but it's like so easy to talk about that ending.
The problem,
so it's like,
see, the problem with this game is that it's so good that when the second part, like, or for me, once it goes off the rails, it just becomes like, why? We were doing so well with what we had. Like, why did you change it?
Yep.
Like, yeah.
You didn't just keep doing that. Like, it's a gameplay loop. You know, just keep me in that loop. Now you're taking me out of this loop and I'm not enjoying myself anymore.
And that's the thing is, you know, I've said it a lot of times on the podcasts, not necessarily how you start, it's how you finish.
Yeah.
So to like start so high and then end kind of lower than that, or like how low, you know, dependent on the person, obviously, it's just kind of like,
Listen, do you know how many anime ends? Like, a lot of anime ends.
Yeah,
like, shit.
I understand.
Can the Japanese write an ending?
Sure.
Because it's so often that the endings of, like, anime fails, confusing endings, like, well, I mean, obviously with Metal Gear we had the Konami fallout, so that's got an excuse. They're always so confusing.
Now, here's the thing. I don't think the ending was terrible, but at the same time, like, I don't know if I fully understood it either, because are we jumping to this part?
It's fine. Listen, like, again,
we'll jump around. That's fine.
As we have discussed many, many times, it's the story is not a major part of this game.
Yeah. So my understanding is, you know, Arden's whole objective was to get Noctis fully powered so that he could either absorb all that power and ascend like he was supposed to, or Noctis would kill him. So either way, he kind of won. That's at least from what I gathered. And I had to do a lot of external reading to the story.
Oh, that's really what it was. Okay. I was wondering what his motivation was. I thought he just was trying to, like, destroy the world.
It seemed like he was stuck with where he was doing. He just wanted out, almost.
Right. Yeah. He was out. He wanted out. One way or another. Either wanted to ascend like he was supposed to millennia ago, or he just wanted to die, essentially.
Okay.
And it required Noctis to be completely powered up to do that. So I was like, okay. And I could kind of see that. I think if they had played it a different way or
made it more obvious.
made it more obvious. You know, I would have been like, oh, you know, wow, that's a fall of a tragic, you know, that's a story of a tragic character, because, you know, Arden's whole thing was that he started out as a king of Lucis, but and he went around healing people that were infected by the Star Scourge or whatever the fuck that the idiot kings did. And by the time he was done, he's like, all right, I'm ready to ascend. And they're like, nah, you're tainted, bro. It's like, but you told me to do this, motherfucker. It's like, okay. So I can understand being pissed. Mind you, I 100% understand his pissiness and, you know, why he went to the dark side. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why Noctis was the king of kings, why I had to wait all this time, I don't understand. I don't understand how he knew that either. Like, you'd think he'd be like, is this newborn king going to be the one? I don't know. You know, it's like, but
maybe
whatever.
He just had to wait for all those other kings to die so he could get the king blades.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But when, you know, Noctis kills him. Yeah, exactly. But then when Noctis kills him and then sits on the throne and then summons the royal arms, and, you know, he's like, because, like, you knew something was up when he asked for a picture from Prompt. I'm like, well, that's a little foreshadowing. Like, that's a little ominous. I'm only going to need one. Like, what the fuck, dude? You're going to jerk off to that thing? Like, that's the only other thing you could possibly do to it. In that case, take a picture of Sydney, which actually would have made the ending really funny. But
I couldn't get over the fact that, like, that game model and then the voice that was coming out of it. I was like, this does not match. Like, But anyway, keep going.
So when he summons, you know, all the holy arms and or the royal arms, and they're like just impaling him, I was like, oh, is this symbolic or is this literal? And then when his dad kind of like was looking away and, you know, had to beg his dad to do it, I was like, oh, I guess this is real. Even though every time you get one of these things, that's what it actually does to him. So I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I just heard him this time.
Like, this is the one that's killing him, though.
They do explain it, though, like when he goes to the underwater guy and says, I'm going to help you, but it's going to cost you your life.
Yeah. I mean, they did say that.
When he goes into the crystal and like Bahamut, whatever his name was. No, that's, I don't remember his name. The last dude, he says, like, we'll help you, but it's going to cost you your life. In so many words. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And he's going to have to make the ultimate sacrifice or something like that, he said. Yeah.
Right. That's fine. And then, you know, he dies. But then here's the thing. So then you don't know the fate of your comrades because they were buying you time. And then, frankly, you don't even know. Okay, so you purged all the demons of the world. But I thought we established there's, like, hardly any humans left. So, like, I mean, yeah. Is that really something to be happy about? I mean, I'd rather just stay in the past. Like, fuck the future.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just adding on to that, I really hated how they kind of, like, just did that whole time jump thing. Because, like, okay, time jumps in any medium, whether it's anime, manga, like, TV shows, cartoons, movies, whatever. Like, it's hit or miss. But when you do a 10-year time jump, only for you to show up, everybody's just like, "Hey, you're back. Let's go kill Arden." It's like,
nobody questioned where you were. Like, right. You were just kind of like, "What happened?" Nobody said anything like that. It was just like, "Oh, you're back. Okay, let's go."
Yeah, and then like Sydney's not around. Sid's not around. You see the one fucking Cactuar kid. You don't know where Iris is. Yeah. They're like, you know, brushed off aside. Like, "Oh, Iris is a hunter now." I'm like, "Oh, well, I'd like to see that." The mercenary Aranea Highwind? Where's she? You know,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah, the one that was actually turned out to be a pretty good character.
I know.
Biggs and Wedge.
Yeah, Biggs and Wedge. Like, what the fuck happened to all these characters?
Again, like we said, story was not a strong point.
I know.
No, but even like getting back to that world, I was happy to be reunited. And I think that's why Chapter 13 was such a pain in the ass, because the entire point of the game is Brofest. And you, and in that game, in that chapter, you're by yourself the entire time. So it's like, I don't know. That's when the game worked. It was like when you had your group with you, and I did like the team up system they had together, like the skills that they used, that you would give, and you could, you know, kind of do chain combos and stuff. I liked that part of the combat with it, and it kind of went with the game, like, you know, the buddy buddy with your friends, and they would do an attack, and you would link together, chain link it, and I liked that part. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it's. Like I said, the good parts of the game are not part of the story. It's not. Mm. It's the side quests. It's the adventure on the in the main world and driving the Regalia for like 5 minutes while you go and get a sandwich.
Did you activate that endgame quest, Tony, with the mountain?
I have it, but I'm still doing all the stuff for. That's going to be like my last achievement.
Okay.
Do you got so like the endgame quest is like you when you travel back to the past, you get more quests now. Like you get all these endgame stuff.
Chapter 15 is just, you can go to.
You go back to when you were younger and you have some of this like mysterious like earthquakes going on and you have to investigate what's happening with that.
Hmm. Yeah. Cool. Let's check that out.
I guess depending on what you do throughout the game, you get a different story. Kind of.
What?
Something.
I didn't know that.
Check it out.
It's not really a. It's just. There's different dialogues that you get. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to discuss?
Trying to think. I mean, gameplay-wise, you know, the combat was definitely fun. Warping was cool. I do think the game kind of falls apart when you start fighting the really large enemies because the camera is not suitable, but at least the default camera is not.
Sometimes they were bad because there would be trees or rocks or some mountain like in your way. Yeah. I'm just like, all right, I'm just spamming my attack because I have no idea where I am.
Yeah, I have no idea where I am.
Yep.
So I think the game was a little weaker when you started fighting the big enemies. Just because like you're like, all right, this entire enemy model is in my face, so I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I can't read the signals for an attack, etc. But that's the thing that really pissed me off, and I just thought about this. So, okay, again, this is, like, kind of critical, like, kind of nitpicky and stuff like that. But we've established that one of the big things of the Lucis line and through Kingsglaive and everything like that, the warping ability is, like, pivotal. Like, so much of the game was like literally made for that mechanic. So I don't understand why, when you're exploring in the dungeons or in the overworld or something like that, you like see like, oh, that's where I need to go, but I can't just throw my weapon over there and then teleport over there. I gotta like go do this fucking circle jerk shit around a dungeon.
Yeah, these puzzles, to lower this ladder to go up this ladder. It's to like go
why,
over there. Yep.
Why can't I just throw my shit over there? Like, it's not even far. It's not even far.
Yep.
It's not even far. Like, to have you like going from like fucking airships to airships in the story. So it's like, so you're telling me I can do that, but I can't traverse this like 30 feet.
There's been a ton of games that have done that. You know, I remember the mechanic. Yeah, it's a gameplay mechanic thing.
I mean, I understand.
I'm okay
that.
With that. It's just,
but
I understand. I understand what you're saying, but yeah,
I would have actually preferred if they had built the puzzles and dungeons to use, like, utilize that mechanic.
Use it. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, huh? Like, how do I get there? You know, stuff like that. But
I don't know. Did you pick up the fact that the Emperor was the demon?
Yeah.
I missed it because I was like, wait, what happened to the Emperor? I saw his robes. I'm like, what happened? And I had to read it up. And I'm like,
oh, somebody's running around here naked.
I saw his robes and I'm like, and then I realized, like, I read online that that was the demon. I was like, oh, okay, so he transformed off screen. Okay.
Oh. And then one other thing that I didn't understand. All right, so look, you had, what's his name? The Marshal Kor, who is supposedly this fucking badass. Why is he not helping you?
I don't know. I don't even know where he came from. Where did he come from? Because he was not in the game for me. Where did he come from? That guy, Kor. Where was he in the game? Like, I don't remember ever running into him.
You teamed up with him in the beginning.
Yeah, you have to go through a dungeon. Like, you go towards a dungeon with him.
Look, literally one of the first
dungeons. Top of, like, the first section.
It's with only him. You don't have Prompto.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, God, I forgot all about that. When he showed up at the lighthouse, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't know. That was the group shot I chose to take with me. The one picture was the shot at the lighthouse with like everybody there. I don't know.
That's funny. That's the one I took too.
Oh wow! I thought it was a good shot. Have everybody in
like
it.
Like everybody's in it except for Luna. Cause I don't care.
Yeah, and that's what I. It's exactly what I said. I'm like, I don't give a shit about her, so I'm good with this photo. So, anything else you want to talk about, stuff, Corey? You've been.
No, I mean, I said a lot before, or like other podcasts. I really enjoy this game, and it's really invigorated my, need, thirst, or whatever, for the JRPG.
It's a genre that's not very
active. I'm super excited
for
Persona 5 now.
I'm looking forward to
that. I wish that was coming out on Tuesday night, but of course, it's not.
Nope. I kind of wanted to play Tails because of this game, and I'm like, nah, with Zelda coming out so soon, I'm not going to play Tails. Yeah. So
you guys, I mean, here's one more thing I kind of want to be a little critical of. So, like, I really dug the environment and the world and everything like that, but, like, it definitely got repetitive. There was very little variety after a while, you know, with the exception of, like, a couple locations where it's like, oh, this is the volcano, or, like, that one stupid spot where you're like, oh, this is where where Shiva's statue was. Like, you have literally one encounter in there, and then you're fucking off to the capital. It's like, oh, okay, well, cool. I guess I don't want to, explore this area and stuff like that. But I would have liked to have seen a bit more variety in that. And I know you guys have heard me made that comparison before and how a lot of this game, I feel like, literally drew a lot of inspiration from Xenoblade Chronicles, but it totally does. And
it makes me excited to play that. It really does. Yeah. I really want to try that out now. I don't know. Like that's I'm really hoping Nintendo comes through with us on the Switch for like the virtual console and has the first game out there. Because of what you said with this game. Cuz I liked a lot of this. Like my Overall, I would giving this a score out of 10 is tough cuz I'm like I don't know if I'd give it an 8, but I don't know if I'd give it a 7.5, but I'm like right there. That's where I'm at with the game. So it's like I really really loved this game in the first part of it. The ending for me was it made me very upset with what they did, to the point where, like, seriously, Tony, when you're talking about don't spoil the story, I was almost like, it doesn't fucking matter.
I know, but that's exactly how it was with you with Zero Time Dilemma. Like, you're like, I'm playing through this, and I'm just like...
It was the same thing. You're so right. So we both got to experience the train wreck. But I loved most of this game. Like, and I still recommend anybody that's thinking of playing it that hasn't. If you're watching this, I'm not sure why you are, but if you are, you should definitely play the game. Yeah. And if you stop playing it, I think I would have been fine not going into the ending. I would have been good just playing this game, just playing as an open world game for like all time. Just keep going through doing missions and bounties. Yeah. So it's almost like a mobile game at that point.
Oh, that's one other minor thing that kind of annoyed me. I hate how you can only accept one bounty at a time.
Yeah,
I was like, let me just take all of them, please.
Because there was a lot that overlapped. They were like right next to each other. Yeah. So, but all right, anything he's closing out, Corey? No, good game.
I highly recommend it. I'd probably give it an 8. I would definitely be up there.
Tony,
I would definitely settle with an 8 right now. Just the highs were really high.
Like I said, game of the year.
It makes the lows feel lower, but like
feel really.
But it's still like I had a lot of fun, and I do go like going back and like hearing that music. It's like nice, you know. That music was really good too, and you could listen to like all the soundtracks from every game too.
And that's another cool part. I love that feature of the game, just like chilling and listening to the music. I give it an 8 out of 10. And like you were saying, Corey, just a moment ago, the lows are low for this game, but like it's not like uber terrible. Like I would never, and I don't mean to draw this comparison either, but you know where I'm going.
Of course.
It wasn't like a Mass Effect 3 where we're just like, yeah, like take your hopes and dreams and crush them and then fucking grind them up and scatter them to the wind because it doesn't even fucking matter. It's kind of like, yeah, like you had hoped for the best and this is what we're giving you. Like kind of fizzled out. So hopefully they fix it. And that's the one kind of like silver lining here is we might get something even better, you know, whenever this game is 100% fully complete. And, you know, that's why one of the things where, you know, I'm hopeful for the future. I don't know if I'll return to it to do that, but, you know, that's not to say people who pick it up like a year from now will probably definitely get a better experience. And ultimately, like, the thing I want to say about the game is, like, just, like, the message they play on the screen before you start the game. It's, like, it's for, you know, Final Fantasy fans and newcomers alike. I think it's just totally hits the nail on the head there. So. Mm.
Yep,
I thought the logo reveal was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was like, and that's the one thing where I'm like, oh, if this story had hit, would have been like,
it would have been, I know that's what they were going for with that. Like I said, they came up with these things separately, and then they just put them in because
it was cool reveal. And I'm like, oh, that would have been cool if that actually was like meaningful, but it's just like, well, I guess that's just one of those things that that would have been nice, just dream about that, but. I like seeing that now come up when you turn it on and
how the logo screen changed. I will say, like, despite like how the story ended, like the scene with, you know, Noctis and Luna like dressed nice and on the throne, I was like, oh, like that did put a smile on my face where I was like, it looks like, I don't know if it's like the crystal reality or the afterlife or whatever, like looks like they are gonna get to be happy.
To me, that just seemed like they were finally together after they both, you know, died. Like what it was for me, and like, and that I felt like, oh, I would have rather have had them alive in that sequence, you know. But whatever. Let's I guess close up then.
I think we're good. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to the bonus round. If you have comments about the game, questions, write us podcast@geek.net. comment on our video down on YouTube there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter @AllYouCanGeek as well. We're tweeting out some stuff. Switch is coming up. We'll definitely be doing some Switch stuff, so look forward to that. And we're definitely doing some Switch stuff. I can't wait for that. Three of us are getting the Switch, so look forward, you know, looking ahead. So tune in next week too to our games and movies casts. Thanks.